This morning, the title of my sermon is Salt and Light, and it's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and be trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Thank you, Justin. So as I read these verses this week, I thought, what does that mean to be salt? The earth. What does that mean? What is the salt of the earth? And I told Jolene, it seems like so much of what we read today, even in the scriptures, you apply it to what's going on in our world today. And our world is kind of in chaos. Not just our country, but our world is in chaos. So what is our calling? Last week, I spoke about what do you want God to do for you? What are you seeking from God? But now today we have a call from God. God wants something from us. He wants us to be the salt of the earth. So what is salt? What does salt do? We know that if we have a steak, if you have French fries, if you have mashed potatoes, corn, anything like that, and you don't put salt in it, it just isn't quite the same. So salt flavors. Salt makes things better. Salt purifies. You can put salt in water, and it will clear mud. It will clear. They're working on ways to put a little bit of salt in and shake it up, and it brings the mud to the bottom. I'm sure your water still tastes a little salty, but it can purify water. Different ways that salt purifies. And another thing that salt does is it preserves. For thousands of years, they've been using salt to cure meat, to make so that whatever they have can be preserved. Today we use lots of things like canning and freezing, but back then they didn't have ways to do that. So salt can you use in many ways, and you can apply that to Scripture, to ways like that. You're the salt of the earth, so if we're the salt of the earth, and salt purifies, salt preserves, God can use us to purify the earth. God can use us to preserve His people, to reserve the people of the earth. Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6, and Paul is talking. And he's in prison. But he says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak, the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." So Paul is saying here, walk in wisdom toward those who are on the outside, those who are not of the faith. Then he says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Now we know that harsh words drive people away. Kind words, love, will draw people in. And I think that's what Paul's talking about. Let your words be nice, be kind. Let them be a savoring thing. Not something that's bitter, that's something that drives them away. Let it be with grace, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So we need to be the salt in that way. Then it says, it is then good for nothing to be But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. What does that mean? Can we lose our seasoning? Are we not salt? How many of us have been somewhere and they have a salt shaker and it's done got a little bit damp? You can't get it out. It's like you might as well quit. Can lose its saltiness. 2 Peter talks about someone who has lost its way. Second Peter 2:18-21 says, "For when they speak great swelling words," and this is talking about false teachers coming in and leading people astray. "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they lure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error." So people who have escaped, who have become Christians, are now being led back away by false teachers. That when they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. So as it says in verse 13, it says, "It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under men, underfoot of men." Paul is saying here that if Peter, it says, those who have escaped the pollutions of the world, and now they're going back into the world. It says it would have been better for them if they had not known the way. Again, verse 13 says, "For it is good for nothing, be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." So we need to be careful. False teachers, we need to be careful to be that salt. Verse 14, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." How many times do you see a city set up on top? It can't be hidden. It says, "You are the light of the world." Think of a lighthouse. They build them tall to light up so that ships can see them from out on the sea. But we need to be careful for our light. We know that light can drive out darkness. 2 Corinthians 6:14-15 says, Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has believer with an unbeliever? We need to be careful of our light. Our light is going to shine to those around us. What communion has light with darkness? We need to be careful that our light is shining, that our light, when it shines out, it's not dimmed by this lewdness and lawlessness and darkness. Don't get together with them. 1 John 1. Verse 5 through 7, John is talking about in the first part of it that they have been with the Father. And then he says, verse 5, he says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." God is where we get our light from. God is the source of our light. It says, "And in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." There's lots of different verses where it talks like this. We need to be sure that our light is bright. We need to be sure where we're getting our power from, where we're connected to. And I have a flashlight up here, a couple of them. And these lights, they're connected to the source, the battery, where it gets its power from. This one, its battery is dead. This one, where's it getting its power from? What's it connected to? What are you connected to? What's in your life? Can't get any power from that. Trash. It's not going to give off light. What do you have in your life? Where are you getting your power from? What are you connected to? Are we getting our power, our light from God, from the Bible, from the Word? Are we getting it from these things? This is what we're getting our power from. We're not going to be very effective. If we want to be that light for God, we have to be connected to the source. We have to be connected to power, to the Word. We have to be in the Word. Ephesians 5 talks about once what we once were. Ephesians 5, verse 8 to 14. It says, "For you once were darkness." Once we were this. "But now you are the light of the world, light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We have a responsibility to be that light, to let our light shine. It said, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." If we're going to be light to people around us, we have to get away from darkness. We have to drive that darkness away. Again, "have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, 'Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.'" So if we want light, Christ is going to give us light. He's going to lead us. He said he would. And then Philippians 2, verses 12 to 15 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of the crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as light in the world." We need to be careful of the things we say, the things we do. Last night we went and looked at a van, and we went to a dealership. And I felt like they were just jerking my chain around. They were hem-hawing around. They didn't keep their word. Their price, I found three different prices for the same van on their websites. And I really, really wanted to just let them have it. But we have to be careful what we say, the things we do. We may be the only Jesus someone sees. We are the light. You're the light of the world. The world is in darkness. The world needs light. We are that light. Verse 14 again, it says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." People are watching. They see you. They hear you. The things you say, the things you do, the way you act. We need to become blameless and harmless because our light is shining. Whether we want to or not at that point in time, our light is shining. Is it shining for God? And as I think about shining in the darkness, a couple years ago, flew back to Jamaica. As you're coming in, you're coming across the water and there's no lights. It's dark. You might see a little bit of lights from the plane on the water below you, but it's dark. Suddenly up ahead, there's the lights. There's land. See the lights of the town, lights of the runway. Feels good to see that, you know what? I'm going somewhere that's safe. Somewhere. What are you to people? Are you shining as light? Do people see you as somewhere that's safe? Somewhere that they want to be. Back to Matthew verse 15, it says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. You can't take your light and light it and put it underneath something and expect it to do anything. In fact, it would do just the opposite. I have a candle, and it says, put it on a lamp, hide it under a bushel. Now, if we were to turn all the lights off, you could see that light. But if you were to hide it underneath something, you will not be able to see that light. Not only will it not be light, but it will go out. We have to let our light shine. It says, but on a lampstand, it gives light to all who are in the house. So what is our lampstand? Our lampstand is where we're at. The job we have, whatever we do, whatever God calls us to, God puts us on a lampstand. He has something for us. He has something for us to do somewhere, somebody that you see. Maybe it's in town, you see them in town. Let your light shine. That's your lampstand. You're traveling. Whatever it may be. That's your lampstand. Let your light shine. And then verse 16 says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works. Well, that sounds different because we're not worried about our good works. We're not supposed to worry about good works. I mean, we want to do good works, but that's not going to get us anywhere. But it says, and glorify your Father in heaven. So our works, the light that we have, it's not for us. The good works that we do, it's not for us. It's for the glory of God. And glorify your Father in heaven. 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12. Says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Let them speak against you. But if you have good works, nothing that they can say will stick. And in the end, they will have to glorify God. Our purpose, again, is to bring glory to God. 1 Peter 4, 7 to 16 talks about serving and then also about suffering for God's glory. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So if you're going to do all these things, have love. I think of this the story of the Good Samaritan. And I know it was just a parable. But love. That Good Samaritan had love. That's what people need. People need love. And I know that the thing out there today is love covers everything. Just love. Let's just love. That's not what I'm talking about. But love the sinner, not the sin. Be hospitable. Minister to others. Speaking to others. It says, let them do it with the ability which God supplies. Once again, that all things, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then going on, verse 12. We don't like to think about these things, but it may happen. It says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. We don't like to think about hard times. We don't like to think about suffering for God. We don't like to think about suffering at all. But know, if it happens, his grace is there. It says, as a Christian, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter, bringing all the glory to God. And then my final scripture, 2 Thessalonians 1, 10 through 12. It says, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of his faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. God comes back to be glorified. When he comes back, what will be your testimony have been? It says, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Does God count you worthy? Are you worthy of his calling? And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. God needs us to let our light shine by our works so that he can be glorified, so that those around can see. It will drive out the darkness. It will shine light. What are you doing? Are you the light of the world? Or are we covering our light up because we don't want to be exposed? What are we doing? Again, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's bow our heads for prayer, and then I have a song that I've asked Jeremy to play after we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that You have called us to be salt and light. I thank you for your word that we have. Father, I thank you that you are the light and that we can draw our strength from you. I pray that you would just be with us as we go from here this week. Father, I pray that you would help us to be salt and light. Help us to let your light shine through us that we might lead others to you. Father, I pray that you would just be with us as we go from here. Watch over us this week, grant us safety, and bring us all back again next week. In your name I pray. Amen. Be dismissed then.